Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll continue with our introduction to Kodshim. And I wanted to say a few words about the Mizbeach. Again, the Mizbeach is going to be a topic unto itself, but just one word about the Mizbeach as an introduction to our discussion of today. There's an area in the Mizbeach which is called the Yisod. And the Yisod of Mizbeach is basically on the bottom of the Mizbeach, on the outside, and it swings around. It's a square shaped that juts out one amma on all sides of the Mizbeach. However, there's something called the Keren Dromis Mizrachis on the southeastern side of the Yisod. Of the Mizbeach, there's no Yisod. Okay then? Now the Yisod is very important for our discussion of today, and that is what we call Shfichas Shirayim. So if you have the introduction to Zvachim of the Mesifta, then you look on page Yud Beis. And after the Zrikas Hadam on the Mizbeach, the Kohen, who's holding on to the Kli Tsharis in his right hand, has Shiori Adam. There are vestiges of Dam, and he has to pour that Dam onto the Yisod HaMizbeach. The top part of the Yisod HaMizbeach, which is called the Gag, meaning, you know, the Yisod, sometimes when we talk about Zrika Saddam, we talk about, you know, Zrika on the Kosel. We don't always talk about on the top, like on the Kronos in the case of Chatos. Now, you know, we very often talk about applying the dam to the sides of the Mizbeach. Not so in the case of the Yisod. In the case of the Yisod, we're not talking about the sides of the Yisod. We're talking about the top of the Yisod. And that's called Shvichas Shirayir Hadam. Now here we have a Machlokas Tanoim about what status or how critical is the Shvichas Shirayim. One Tana holds that it's critical, meaning the Kapara of the Korban is totally dependent upon this Kiyum of the Mitzvah Shvichas Shirayim. And the other Mandiomer says no. The Zrika itself on the Dam generates the Kapara, and the Bailim now have a full Kapara. There's a separate Chovas Gavra, a separate obligation incumbent upon the Kohen of Shvichas Shirayim. And that's how the Rambam paskins Laloch. Now, when there's a mitzvah on the Kohen, do we assume that the Kohen has to therefore guarantee that there are some Shirayim left? And according to one sheet in the Rishonim, mitzvah la Kohen, the Kohen is absolutely commanded, he's obligated in organizing or guaranteeing that there should be Shirayim left in the Kli Tsharis. In other words, he should be very, if you want to say, prudent or meticulous about how much dam from the Kli he applies to the Mizbeach to make sure that he doesn't use up all the dam in the Kli, leaving some dam over to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Shvichas Damim. Whereas other Rishonim say, no, there's no mitzvah incumbent upon the Kohen to guarantee Shvichas Shirayim. If there are Shirayim, then he's Chayiv in the mitzvah. And again, if I could just give you a mashal, tzitzis, for example, you have a beged that's dalid kanfos, then you're chayiv in tzitzis. It doesn't mean I have to run around looking for a beged of dalid kanfos. Again, on a deraisa level, I'm not talking about derabbanans. So too, in the case of shirayim, I have a mitzvah of shvichas shirayim if and when there are shirayim in the kli. But I don't have to guarantee that there should be shirayim in order to place upon myself a chiyuv of Shvichas Shirayim. And this is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, and Tosus also gets involved in this. This is a very long sugya in Zvachim on Daf Lamed Zayin, in Zvachim on Daf Nun Gimel. He has it here in the footnotes. Now the Rambam has a chiddush which has to be understood, that there are three categories of korbanos that do not require shvicha shirayim, and they are bechar, maser, and pesach. Now, there are two sides of the yisod that we mentioned before that are critical and are candidates for this mitzvah of shvicha shirayim. One is called the maravi, and the other is called Dromi. Again, as we said before, Mizrachis, what do we say before? Again, as we mentioned before, that the Mizrachis Dromis has no Yisod. So that's not Bob Cheshbon. But on the Maravi side, or the Dromi side, that's Machlokes Tanoim. Our Psak is that in Karbonos, that requires Rikas Dam, on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, which is 90% of the Karbonos, then the Shvichas Dovim is on the Yisod HaDromi, because that's the closest. When the Kohen comes down from the Mizbeach through the Kevesh, then the first thing he reaches is the Tzad Dromi, the Yisod Dromi, and that's where he has the first opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah of Shvichas Shirayim. However, when we talk about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's called Chatos Pnimios, which is a relatively rare situation, then there the Hazos Dam is in the Heichal. Then immediately when he comes out of the Heichal, the first side of the Mizbeach that he encounters is the Maravi side, and that's where he's going to do the Shvicha Shirayim. So again, Shvicha Shirayim applies both to the avoda of the Mizbeach HaChitzoni and to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. In both cases, the Shvicha Shirayim is going to be on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, on the Yisod. And the difference is going to be which side of the Yisod. If you're talking about all the Karbanos where the Zrikas Adam is on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, then the Shvicha Adam will be on the Dromi side. If on a Chatas HaPnimis, then the Shvichas Adam will be on the same Mizbeach, the same Yisod, but not on the Dromi side, but on the Maravi side. Now, what happens after we've completed the process of Shchita, Kabbalah, Holocha, Zrika, and Shvichas Adam? We're pretty much finished as far as the Kabbalah HaKarban is concerned. However, we're up to the state of achilas basar hakorban. In other words, we've taken care of the dam, but now we have the flesh of the carbon itself. So now we get into a three-stage process, which is called hefshet, nituach, vehadocha. Now, these avodos are not what we call avoda, meaning they don't require a kohen. Just like we said, shchita lav avoda doesn't require a kohen, even a zar, so too nituach and hefshet and hadocha do not require a kohen. Fine. Tosus points out that we will only invite a zar who's a miyuchas. Miyuchas means that there are no psul yuchsin, and there's no admixture of mamzerus or other kinds of non-Jewish blood. Now we start with hefshet. That's going to be the first kickoff of this process. And that was done on special tables, shulchanos, that were set up in the Azara in order to strip or skin the animal of its or, of its outside or. Now, after the hefshet, what they would do is they would take the remainder of the karbon, and they did what's called tliya bi'avir. They had amudim, and they would place the flesh of the animal on these amudim. And those amudim were kavua, that's where they were established, right near the shulchanos in the Azara. And then what they had was, how do you say in English, vavim, we'll call it, until I find a better word, we'll call it hooks, and there were hooks, and what they did was, they made a nekev in the left leg of the animal, and they were able to use that opening in the animal to hang up the animal on this this hook. Now, in the case of a shar, this is a very large animal, and this process of tliya, the Rambam says in Hilchos Maaseh Karbonos, is not applicable. All we need is hefshet, and we leave the shor on the table. Okay. Now, to what karbonos does this requirement apply? Number one, to an ola. And that means that after we finish this whole process, the entire flesh of the animal is burnt on the mizbeach. In the case of other karbonos, we also have a din of hefshet. But the Rambam says the exception is going to be chatos pnimios. And as we've said over and over again, chatos pnimios is a major sugya in kodshim. It has so many different unique halachas. Now, in the case of a carbon ola, the hafshat is done on the entire animal, with the exception of its head, because the entire body of the animal is kolil, is burnt on the mizbeach. In other karbonos, we only have aktara of the fats, of the murim, and therefore, we only need afshata of the top half of the animal, up to what's called the chaza, and that's going to allow us access to the emurim, which are inside the flesh of the animal, to remove them, and that's all we need as far as hafshat is concerned. Now, the sequence here is very important. We don't want to take the emurim out before hafshat ha'or, because what happens if we don't do the hafshat ha'or first, then yidavku be'emurim nimei tzemer mi'ora karma. There are certain, we'll call them fibers or wool, that are attached to the outside of the animal, the skin of the animal, and if you don't do afshata, those nimei tzemer will get attached to the basar, to the flesh, the emurim of the animal. Now, the exception to this rule of hafshata ad hachaze is the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach requires hafshata kulo, and we'll have a discussion as to why that's so. Now, what do we do after hafshata with the R? We've taken off the skin, the hide of the animal. So here there's a difference between kodshei kodshim and kodshim kalim. In the case of kodshei kodshim, the R belongs to the Kohanim. In the case of Kodshim Kalim, the R, like the Basar, belongs to the Bailim. That's as far as Hafshat is concerned. Now we move on to number two, which is called Nituach. Nituach means that we cut the animal's flesh into different segments, different parts. And the Mishnah establishes that we have to cut it into 10 different segments. And there's a long discussion as to why the number 10. Now we're ready for the final part of this process, and that's called Hadacha. Now, there are certain innards in the animal that have to be washed carefully. In a carbon ola, it's the keres, the kerev, and the krayim. These are the parts of the ola that have to be washed in water. The kirbayim has to be washed at least a minimum of 3 times because they're full of lichluch, of dirt. And no other beverage is acceptable for hadacha. It's got to be mayim. Not only that, but it's got to be regular, what we would call faucet water. We're not going to use Mei Kiyar, because Mei Kiyar have a certain status of Hegdesh of Kedusha. And this is just a technical process, you know, a physical process that has to go on. Okay. Now, there was a separate designated lishka for the purpose of hadochas hakeres. The hadocha first of the kirbayim was done in a lishka called the lishkas hamadichim, and there was a lot of dirt that had to be removed from the keres, from the kishkas and the intestines of the animal. That was done in that lishkas hamadichim. Afterwards, we went on to different tables, the shulchanos that were that were designated in the Azara between the various Amudim that we mentioned before, and that's where we did the Hadocha of the other parts of the innards of the animal. Okay. Now, what happens after we finish this entire process, Hefshet, Nituach, and Hadocha? Now we got to get to the Murim, because now we're ready to remove the a murim that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Hotzas ha'imurim, the karbonos, other than an ola where we just burn the murim, after hefshet, after this whole process, then we take the murim out of the innards of the animal and we burn them on the Mizbeach. The parts of the animal that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach, which is called the Emurim, are carried up until the Kevesh, and from the Kevesh, they're taken up to begin the Akhtara. Now, as I mentioned before, there is a ramp that leads the Kohanim up to the top of the Mizbeach. And that's this kevesh. I wish I could give you a picture of it. Let me just see. Well, the best picture I could find is on this page here. There are no page numbers, so I can't tell you what page it's on. So I don't know if you could see it from where you are. Again, I can split the screen if I learn that technology, but so that's what we have here. Fine. The question is, what restrictions apply in the case of Holachas Haivarim? It seems that as far as Yamin is concerned, we don't require Yamin, and small is also acceptable. And if the Kohen is leading up the Murim, Min HaMelach Shel Tzibra Munach Al Gabi HaKevesh Shenemar Al Kol Karbonecha Takriv Melach. Okay, so the Murim have to be salted by the Kohen, and that salt was purchased by the Tzibur, by the community with communal funds, and it was placed next to the ramp, and then the Emurim have to be dipped in the salt. Ketzer u'osa mevi ha'ever v'nosein olav melach. So he actually puts the salt on the aver, on the kishkis, you know, the emurim, and he turns it upside down to make sure the salt is on both sides. However, this is really interesting. Here's the overlap between Yoredeya and Kodshim. In Yoredeya, we have a principle called Maliach Hareu Kiroseach. Now, the halacha is that if you take the avarim and you roast them, That's not good. We don't want to put roasted Evarim on top of the Eish. We want the Eish to roast it. And that's not called Reach Nichoach. So therefore, he shouldn't leave the salt on the basar of the carbon for too long of a time period, because if he does, then Maliach Harev Kirosech, it's already Tzolui, and we don't want to bring a Murim that were already Tzolui onto the Eish of the Mizbeach. We want the Eish of the Mizbeach to make it into Tzolui. But the Eved in Molcho is kosher. Even if he left it there for a while, it's still kosher. And this leads us to the next part of our introduction, which is called Akhtara. And I think we should leave this maybe for tomorrow. So we're on page Yud Gimel here in the introduction, and we're up to Yud Gimel. So it's Os Yud Gimel and Amud Yud Gimel, and we're up to the point of burning that which has to be burnt on the Mizbeach from the carbon. In the case of an Ola, the entire carbon. In the case of other Kodshim, then it's only going to be the Emurim. That we'll see in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Now, we're going to get back to our sugya in Psachim on Daf Nun Tes Amid Aleph. So what we established yesterday was with regard to the Tamid Shel Shachar, which has to be the kickoff carbon of the morning, we have a special halacha with regard to the Ketores Shel Shachar, that the Torah says Baboker Baboker, meaning very early in the morning, even before the Haktoras HaTamid. As far as the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, we said that the only, except for Erev Pesach, the only avoda that's done in the Beis HaMikdash after the Hakrova of the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is the Adlokas HaNeros and the Haktoras HaKtoras. Not in that order, actually, in the opposite order, but we're going to finish Me'erev HaDboker with the Hadlokas HaNeros. Now we get to the case of a Mechusar Kapora. And we're talking about a person like a Zav or a Metzora that has completed his process of Tara. He counted all the days that he has to count. He already went to Mikvah, but he hasn't yet brought his Kapora. He didn't bring his Karbon yet. Until he brings his Karbon, which is going to be on day 8, he is called a Mechusar Kapora. And there are still vestiges of his tumah status. He hasn't completely purified himself. And there are two nafkaminas. Number one, he's not allowed to enter into the Mikdash until he brings in his karbon. And number two, he's not allowed to eat from kodshim. On Erev Pesach, we're going to have a real problem if this Zav or Mitzora has not yet brought his karbon. So it means that his day 7 coincides with the 14th of Nisan. He has to bring his karbon on day 8. And if that be the case, then he can't be part of the Akrovas HaPesach. Let me give you a different scenario. Let's construct a case in which the 8th day of the Zav or the Mitzora is on the 14th of Nisan. Now, he has a possibility, a shot at the Korban Pesach, if he'll bring his Korban on the 14th. The problem is, they've already brought the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So here are the two sides of the equation, the tug of war, if you will. On one side of the equation, we have the Iser Ashlama that screams loud and says, you're not allowed to bring any other korbanos after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. We've already brought the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And although you are in desperate need of bringing your karbanos of tara, of a zav or a mitzor, etc., but nevertheless, I can't allow you to do that because of the Isra Lav that says that you can't bring a carbon after the tummy. On the other side of the equation, we have what's called a chiv kares, which means that if he doesn't bring his carbon Pesach, he's chayv kares. He's in a desperate state, and perhaps because the Isra kares of non-fulfillment of the Karban Pesach is that much more chomer than the Iser of Hashlama in bringing a Karban after the Tamid, we should apply the principle of Dechia. Dechia means that when you have something more chomer and it has a direct collision with something that's more kal, then the chomer is Docha the kal. And that's exactly what it says in the Braisa. The Braisa goes out of its way to tell us that not only will the haktoras take place after the tamid shel bein arbaim, not only will hadlakas haneros take place after the haktoras tamid shel bein arbaim, but even a mechusa kapara on erev Pesach who desperately needs to bring his karban tara, and he hasn't had the opportunity to do so for whatever reason, before they brought the tamid shel bein arbaim, it's now the 14th of Nisan, he's in a critical stage, his mitzvah of kares, that's the heavy severity of this mitzvah of Korban Pesach, is in the balance. He's going to get kares if you don't allow him to bring his karban of tara after the tamid shel bein arbaim, and we're going to allow it. We're going to find this as a very exceptional case, and the severity of not being able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is such that it overrides, it trumps the Iser of Hashlom. Now Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho shel Rabbi Yochanan Broka goes a step further. And this is treading on very dangerous ground. He says, forget about Erev Pesach. Forget about the Korban Pesach. Let's talk about any day of the year. And there's a mitzvah of eating karbanos. Achilas kodshim is a mitzvah. Again, we're going to try to prove that. But if you grant me that premise, says Rabbi Shmuel, then any day of the year, if you have a zav or a mitzora who desperately wants to eat from his karban and then be mekayim the mitzvah achilas basar karban, he hasn't yet brought his tara, and we said that until he brings his carbon of tara, he is enjoined from eating kodshim. You are now robbing him of the Iser kodshim, of the mitzvah achilas kodshim, if you prohibit him from bringing his carbon tara. So let's say it's the eighth day of the tara process for Zav. He's done everything kedasu kedin. Now he wants to eat kodshim. I'm sorry, Fadi. We've already brought the carbon tamid shel bein arbaim. Too late to bring your carbon of tara. You will remain in the state of tumah for another day. And get it right tomorrow and make sure you bring your carbon before the tamid shel bein arbaim. That's what we would have said if not for Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho Broker. Comes along Rabbi Shmuel and he says, Nein, the mitzvah achilas kodshim, meaning to facilitate the tara of this zav or mitzora of eating, of fulfilling the mitzvah of achilas kodshim, is so powerful that it overrides the iser of hashlama of the tamid shel bein arbaim. And in event, during any day of the year, the zav or the mitzora has not yet brought his karban hamitaher, and we've already brought the tamid shel bein arbaim, we will allow for the violation of the Iser HaShlama for the sake of Achilas Kodshim. In other words, I would summarize Rabbi Shmuel's principle in the following words. Gam litzorech kiyum mitzvahs Achilas Kodshim, hitiru lahakriv es hakorbanos li'achar atomid. Rabosai, for the sake of the mitzvah of achilas kodshim. Well, is there a mitzvah of achilas kodshim? I mean, that's a pretty fundamental issue in kodshim. He quotes Rashi that the mitzvah of achilas kodshim is derived from the parasha of Karbonas HaMiluim. You know, if you're learning Masechta Yoma, you have to know a lot about Karbonas Miluim. What happened during the Miluim? The Pasuk says, V'ochlu osam asher kupar v'hem. That the Achila itself is mandated by this Pasuk, V'ochlu osam asher kupar v'hem. Pil'ei pla'im, we're talking about a mitzvah achilas kodshim. And we're deriving it from this pasuk in the parasha of Miluim, the Karbanos of Miluim. Now, first of all, I don't know who the pasuk is referring to when it says asher kupar bahem. Is it referring to the bailim? In the case of Shlomim, because Shlomim is the boss, as we said in the Rambam's introduction, is eaten by the Bailim, they're not Kohanim. And they have a mitzvah of Achilas HaBosar. Or is it the Kohanim? The Kohanim are obligated to eat the Bosar. And their Achilah is described by the Torah as Asher Kupar Bahem. That their Achilah triggers off a kapara on behalf of the Bailim. Now you may ask me, that's a little bit strange. You know, let the Bailim themselves be machaper. You know, they want to achieve kapara. But what shaykhus does the Kohen have to his kapara? Well, the answer is, the Kohen is in charge of all the avodos. Shchita, the Kabbalah, Holocha, Zrika. All that is being done to generate a kapara on behalf of the Bailim. But who's doing it? It's the Kohen is doing it. Ah, if the Kohen is doing the avoda and the clincher of the kaparas hakarbon, the apex at the end is going to be the achilas habasar, let the Kohen eat the basar. And the achlos asher kupar bahem, it's all part of and the culmination of the avoda, and therefore the Kohen should be eating the basar. There's only one major problem. Who invited the Kohen to eat the basar? The Bailim have to make that call. They want to eat the basar. Ah, the Kohen says, Rabbi Yud, I did all this avoda on your behalf. Give me an opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah, the great mitzvah of achilas kodshim. He says the following. The Ramban, in his Hasogas on Sefer HaMitzvahs, adds a whole list which is called Mitzvah Sasher Shochan HaRambam. And on that list, he's got Achilas Kodshim. The Ramban accuses the Rambam of omitting Achilas Kodshim in his calculation of Taryag Mitzvahs. And says the Ramban, Achilas Kodshim Lebailim Mitzvah Sasehi. The strange thing is that the Ramban derives the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim from a different pasuk, not the pasuk in Shmos that I mentioned before, V'achlo Soma Shagupar Bayam, from a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh and Dvarim. It says, V'achaltu l'fnei Hashem el-kecha b'mokom asher yivcha asher yivcha l'shake in Shmos Shom ma'aser degoncha tiroshcha v'yitzorecha u'bechoros bekorcha v'sona'acha. Wow, the Ramban is saying that the source for the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim is an apostle that is not addressing Kodshim per se. The apostle is addressing Maser. But it does mention at the end of the apostle, Bechoros Bekarcha. So the Ramban understands that there's not only a mitzvah of achilas trumas and maisers, but there's also a mitzvah of bechoros bekarcha. Now again, I don't know why the Torah singles out bechoros, but the Ramban sees this as a general flat mitzvah that encompasses all karbonos. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tempted to think that according to Ramban, the mitzvah that we're establishing here is incumbent upon the Bailim, not on the Kohen, because this pasuk is talking about Dagon Tirosh, it's called Dagoncha Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha. I mean, Maser is not a mitzvah on the Kohen. It's, you may say that the Levi is going to eat the Maser, but that even that's not true. There are certain kinds of Maser which the Levi does not eat. And he writes that Das HaRambam, in other words, why did the Rambam omit Achilas Kodshim from his Minyan Taryag? It's a Gevaldig Akasha. And the Ramban proves that the Torah says V'achalto with regard to Karbonos. And the answer is Yesh Lachko. Is the achila separate mitzvah, or is it part of the mitzvah of avodas hakorban? And the answer is, this is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam classifies achilas habasar as part of the mitzvah of the avodas hakorban. It's not a separate mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. V'ochlo somasher kubar b'hem. But it's not to be counted as a separate mitzvah because it's part and parcel. It's a sub. It's swallowed up by the mitzvah of avodas hakarma, which culminates with the achilas habasar. The Ramban, on the other hand, understood that achilas basar hakodshim is a separate, independent mitzvah. It has to be counted in taryag. And it's independent to the avodas hakorban. My nafkemina. Are we talking to the kohenim, or are we talking to the bailim haYisrael? If the Rambam is right that the mitzvah achilas kodshim is part and parcel of the avoda, and therefore he doesn't count it as part of the tayag, then the mitzvah is incumbent upon the kohenim. Who does the avoda? The kohenim. And the Torah adds another stage, another action which is part of the process of avodas hakodim, that's achilas habasar. And therefore, the Torah says, according to the Rambam, v'ochlo som asher kupar b'hem. Kupar b'hem means they that achieve and generate the kapara, they've been doing all the avoda, they've been zorek the dam, they now have to eat the basar hakarmon. That's the Torah's way of addressing the kohanim. Says the Rambam, I don't have to count that in Taryag. That's not a separate mitzvah. We have a mitzvah of Otis HaKohen, and he's got to do the Shechita and the Zrika and so forth and so on. He also has to eat the Basar. Comes along the Ramban, and he quotes another pasuk. And in that pasuk, the Torah is addressing clearly the Bailim. It's not talking to the Kohen. In fact, the Torah is talking about different kinds of Masas. So you have Masar Rishon, which is given to the Levi. You have Maaser Sheni, which the Bailim bring to Yerushalayim to eat in Yerushalayim, and you have Maaser Ani. All those Maaseros are included in this pasuk, the ending of which is Ubechoros Bekarcha Vitzonacha. Says the Ramban, this is the source for the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim, and has nothing to do with Kupar Bahem. It's not part of the Avoda. It's a separate, independent mitzvah. And if that be the case, that mitzvah has nothing to do with the Kohanim. It's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Bailim. The Ramban would agree with the Rambam that the Kohen has a mitzvah achila insofar as it's part of Kupar Bahem, it's part of the Avoda. But the Ramban pushes the envelope further when it comes to the achilas habasar. Al yidei Bailim, that's a bezunder mitzvah, that's a mitzvah unto itself. And that's derived from the parsha of Maser in Re'eh. Again, this is not so smooth because you wonder why the Torah, according to Rabban, I'm not asking a philosophical question, but just in terms of definitions, the Torah broke new ground and mandated a mitzvah, achilas habasar, on the Bailim, who are clearly not generating the kaparas hakarbon. The avodas hakarbon is the responsibility on the shoulders of the Kohen. Separate mitzvah of achil. By the way, if the Rambam, I'm just giving you a conception, if the Rambam would have enumerated all the brachos in the world, what bracha would he enumerate for the Bailim eating the basar hakodesh? I brought a carbon shlamim, it's my basar, I want to eat it. What bracha would I recite? It would not appear on the list of brachos. But the Ramban would have a separate bracha for achilas kodshim, basar kodshim al yidei ha-bailim. And I would submit to you that the only bracha that the Rambam would have for the bailim, or for achilas kodshim of the bailim, are only kodshim that are eaten on yontif. Because those kodshim that are eaten on yontif are part of the mitzvah of yontif. V'samachta b'chagecha ein simcha ela b'basar. And that basar refers to the basar kodshim. So it's very nice today, we sing this song, Lubavitch, and everything, v'samachta, and all the different igunim for simchas yontif. But I have news for you. I don't know if we're mekayim the mitzvah of simchas yontif. We need the Beis HaMikdash for that. Now, I don't want to dampen your simcha on yontif. But in any event, the Rambam will have a bracha on achilas chagiga, on shalmei simcha, on achilas korban pesach. All the above are achilos that are generated by the kedushas hayom of the yontif, the regel, and they deserve a mitzvah. But if you go with the case of a korban shlamim, a regular classic korban shlamim, there will be no bracha according to the Rambam. The Ramban, on the other hand, since he classifies achilas kodshim as a separate mitzvah, deriving it from a pasuk that has nothing to do with the Kohanim, it's an independent mitzvah, and he argues, how did the Rambam omit this mitzvah? The answer is because the Rambam held that the source for the mitzvah achilas kodshim is the pasuk v'yachlos asher kupar b'hem, and that pasuk at the end of Shmos is clearly addressing itself to the Kohen. And it doesn't deserve a separate counting in Tariq Mitzvahs. He writes here, Omnam Dasa Rambam, Maisa Karbonis Perk Yud, Sherak Achilas HaKohen Mitzvahi. We're not far from the mark. The Achilas Yisrael Eino Mitzvah Klal. Again, I would add the footnote, except on Yontif. Ulefi Zeh, Bir halikute alochos, that's the Mishnah Berurah. Shetama hetel hakriv li achar hatomid. Oh, now we have a problem. Because Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan Broker says that for the sake of the Zav or the Mitzorah, we're going to allow him to bring his carbon after the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim to facilitate his ability to achieve Tara and eat from the Kodshim, because Achilas Kodshim is a mitzvah. Bishleim, according to the Ramban, it's very gishmak, because the Ramban counts Achilas Kodshim as a mitzvah. But according to the Rambam, what's going on over here? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Machmas ha-mitzvah sheyesh be'etzem avos ha-korbonos ha-kapor b'yom ha-shmini l'taroso? Whoa. That's a whole new twist. In other words, he's saying that there's a mitzvah on a tome to become tar. And included in that mitzvah is not just tvila and sphere zayinikiyim, etc., but it is bringing the carbon. Because until he brings the carbon, he's not tar. Let him say, you know what, I'm not interested in going to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not interested in achilas kodshim. I don't need those carbonos. The answer is no. You're obligated to bring those carbonos. I don't care what your interest is in going to the Mikdash or not. Okay. So this is a whole new twist on our Gemara. There's no mitzvah, according to the Rambam, of Achilas Kodshin. The mitzvah is to bring the korban itself. For the sake of that mitzvah, we'll override Hashlama of the tongue. Now let's ask the following question. What time is it? What do I mean? They brought the Tumen Shel Bein Arbayim. Okay, let's say it was Shmonu Mechza, they finished it at 9 Mechza, fine, there are a couple hours left till Shkia. When did this, let's call him Mr. Mitzora, when did he finally show up in the Azara with his karma? Did he allow himself enough time to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, let's go with the Ramban sheet of Achilas Kodshin? For example, in the case of Shlomim, we give a person 2 days and one night for the allotted time to eat the kachim, and will we override the tamid, the shlama, when he doesn't have any time today to eat the basar, but tomorrow he'll be able to eat the basar because shlamim can be eaten for shnei yomim. Kidei sheyaspik lechol biyom zeh, hitiru lahavi es hakorbanos liachar atamid. He quotes the Baal Amor, Rabbeinu Mizrachi Alevi, who says that we're only going to allow him to violate the hashlama if now he will be able to eat the kachin. We're not interested in what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day. We have the Isra Shlomo today. And we're going to violate it for the sake of Achila, but if he can't eat the basar because there's no time, don't tell me, well, he'll eat the basar tomorrow. And the Ravid disagrees. Says the Ravid that even in the case of Shlomo, that are being brought today, and he won't be able to eat the basar shlomim today, there's not enough time, he'll eat it tomorrow. Even in that case, we will override the iser of hashlama and allow him to bring his karbanos after the tamid in order to fulfill the mitzvah at the earliest possible time. Zrizim akdimim lemitzvahs. When is the earliest possible time? Tomorrow, because he can't eat it today, it's too late. Shkia is in 5 minutes, he won't be able to eat it. Let him eat it tomorrow, because Shlomim can be eaten for 2 days. Says the Ravid, that's enough. And the Baal Amor, if he was here, I'm sure would argue, what do you mean? We're going to override the Iser of Ashlama past the post the Korban Tamid when he can eat the Basar tomorrow? Tomorrow! He'll bring his karban before the Tumen Shel Bein Arbayim. Nay, 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 says the Ravid. Tomorrow and tomorrow, tomorrow creeps in its petty pace. To quote Shakespeare. We're not going to wait for tomorrow. We want him to eat the basar today. And that's an amazing chiddush that puts Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, into a different light. We're going to override Hashlama for the sake of allowing him to eat the basar today, because otherwise he's going to eat the basar tomorrow. Now, the Achronim want to defend the Ravid based on an insight of the Ramban. The Ramban has a Sifra with regard to Achilas Kodshim in the case of Shlomim, She'ikar mitzvahs Achilas HaKorban u'biyom Rishon. In other words, Yesh Lachar. When we say that Shlomim can be eaten for 2 days, how do we understand that? Is the second day a Tashlumin for the first day? You know, very often the Torah allows you to, you know, for a makeup exam. You know, it's called in modern Hebrew, they call it Moed Sheni. You know, you didn't make it for the first Moed, so we give it a Moed Sheni. And the second day of Shlomim is, says the Ramban, based on a Sifra, Moed Sheni. That's not the real McCoy. The real mitzvah is to eat the basar on the first day. Now, I would say, Lefianis Daiti, that this Ramban fits in better with the Balamar than it does with the Ravid. Because if there's no time during this day to eat the basar of the shlomim after the Tomid Shalbein Rabbim, it's just too late, then fisfasta es ikar mitzvah. You've already given up on the main mitzvah. So why not bring the carbon tomorrow, and that'll be the first of 2 days of Achila Shlomim, and you'll get the ikar mitzvah, so the balamar makes more sense, and we're not going to override the Isra Shlomo to allow him to what? To bring his carbon today and eat it tomorrow? Tomorrow's not the ikar mitzvah. So let's see, Ulefi Zeh, just 1 second. Oh, so 1 second. It says, let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, the ochel bekodshim la'erev. He eats the basar shlomim la'erev. What does it mean, ochel bekodshim la'erev? So the Baal Amor says, beautifully, that it means he's going to eat the kodshim before today at erev, before shkia today. And he's going to fulfill the main mitzvah of Achila Shlomim today. We don't want to give up on that mitzvah. He has the opportunity, if you only allow him to bring that carbon, to fulfill the mitzvah of Achila's Kodshim today on Yom Rishon. And for that, it's mutter to be makriv the Karbonas HaKapora even after the Tom. The Baal Amor extends this even further. And he says, let's say that this man brought a carbon shlomim yesterday. He hasn't yet eaten his shlomim. Now it's tomorrow. It's day two of Achila Shlomim, which he has until the end of the day. And they've already brought the carbon tamid. He was in a coma. I don't know where he was. He says in such a case, even though it's Yom Sheni, there we're going to allow him to override Hashlama, because otherwise he doesn't have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Achila Shlomim, because this is the last opportunity. Aval Shlomim Shalayom Sheyeshlo Zman Liochlam Lemachar is then we're not going to override Hashlom. Aval Arayvet Pirsh Lehepech. How does Arayvet understand Ochel kodshim la'erev, pirish bal laila, v'kavonas abrais lashmieni di af litzora kodshim sheyuchal li ochlam bal laila, even though again he has the opportunity of waiting till tomorrow and bring the carbon tomorrow, but now he's going to be able to fulfill it bal laila even after shkia sacham, and says, is mutal ha'akvis karbonas kapor li'achar atomi. So the Ravid will allow you to override Ashlama even for the sake of eating the carbon balayla. And you would all, you know, you and I would have said, what's the difference between Laila and tomorrow morning? I mean, there's no special malyusa to eating a balayla other than Zrizim Akdim Lemitzvahs and Chaviva Mitzvah Vishaita, and that's enough, according to the Ravid, to override the Isur of Ashlama. Zakti Gemara. I know we're tight for just another few minutes. Bishleim ole Tana Kama. I understand the Tana Kama's discussion about Erev Pesach. Let's override Ashlama for the sake of the Korban Pesach. Yovo essay de Pesach. That's an essay. Chomur sheyesh bo kareis v'yidche maise da Ashlama. Asay da Ashlama, excuse me. Why? Because the asay ba Ashlama is not a capital A of Ase, but a small letter A. Shein bo karis. El Rabbi Yishmael b'nosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. My uma hayese mi hayese. On the contrary, if you have a conflict between two essays and you can't fulfill both of them, shevi al taseh. Do nothing. Sit passively. But why are you actively violating the essay of Hashlama for the sake of the essay of Achilas Kodshim? And how much more so according to the Ravid, who says the whole the whole kit and caboodle is all about Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. He could eat the Kodshim tomorrow. It's day one of 2 days of Shlomim. I mean, again, according to Balamor, this is his last opportunity. It's already day two. It's the 11th hour. Or even if it's not day two, at least perhaps he can get, you know, he can get this day's worth of Achilas Kodshim, which is, in the case of Shlom, the Ikar Mitzvah of Achila. Why put him into a Tashlumin mode when he can do the Ikar Mitzvah on its on and its day? According to the Ravid, I mean, we're really going far out. We're actively violating the Iser derived from Ashlama, which is called the Lava Bamachal essay, for the sake of what? Of Zrizim Akdimim LeMitzvahs. For Rabosai, as I part with you for today, I want to leave you with another kasha that really, really bothers my mind. And the Gemara is assuming that if it's Erev Pesach and he's a Tamei, and you don't allow him to bring the Korban after the Tamid, he will lose the opportunity of Korban Pesach. That I grant you. He's not allowed to eat Kodshim. And therefore he violates an Issur Kares. What? Whose violation of an Issur Kares? A Tahar violates the Issur Kares. You're a Tahar and you didn't bring the Korban Pesach? You're Chayav Kares. But if you're a Tamid, I wouldn't say you're Chayav Kares. Again, I'm not going to give you shishi. I mean, you should have been more careful about avoiding this situation. You could have brought the karma for the Talmud. But to say that he's chayv kares, I'll go a step further. I'll grant you that even a tar, I'm sorry, that even a tame, if he only had the possibility, he would be chayv kares. He's not chayv kares. You know why? Torah tells us that a tame who can't bring the carbon on the 14th of Nisan, what does he do? He brings the carbon on the 14th of Iyar. On Pesach Sheni. Where's the Chiv Kares over here? This entire parsha in the Torah in Baloscha, okay, the Anoshim Chashuvim didn't know, they didn't know the answer. Tmeim Anachlu, Lomani Gora. But Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens and he got the answer, Pesach Sheni. They were Tmeim. And they had the opportunity, second round, Hakofa Beis. That's what they say, that the Torah starts with a Beis, gracious, to know, to give you a feeling that if you didn't make it on the first round, you make it on the second round. Let him bring the carbon a month from now. What? You're telling me that he's going to be Chayv Kares? And because he's going to be Chayv Kares, we override the Iser of Hashlama? So the Tanakhama of this Brisa makes 100% sense. I don't make any sense out of it. Where's the Chiv Kares over here? Let him bring a Pesach Sheni. Like any Tomei who couldn't bring the Karman and Pesach Mishu. So let me read to you the footnote here. He says, Mishu Tor Vienu Mevi Karman Pesach Chiv Kares Kimafuresh B'Torah Va'ish Asher Hu Tahar U'Bederech Lo Hoya V'Chodal Lasos HaPesach V'nichrus ha'nefesh ha'hi me'amel, ki korban Hashem lo hikri v'mo'ado, etc., etc. So therefore, if he doesn't bring his korban, he's chayav kares, because he's a tar. But if he doesn't bring his korban pesach because of his tumah, and he has the opportunity to bring it in pesach sheni, he's not chayav kares. Not only that, but there's a machlokas tanoim later on in Sadi Gimel between Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson on the one hand and Rebbe Hananya ben Akavya on the other hand. According to Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson, even if he was mazed on Pesach Rishon and therefore he's Chayev Kares, if he comes through in the clutch and brings Pesach Sheni, he's no longer Chayev Kares. Okay, Rebbe Hananya ben Akavya disagrees. So again, you have Machlokas Tanoim. Can you remove a Chiv Kares simply by fulfilling Pesach Sheni? Some Tanoim say yes, some Tanoim say no. The Rama Paskins that you will be potter from Kares, even in a Mazid case, if you bring Tamid Shel, if you bring the Karban Pesach Sheni. In other words, you make it up and everything is fine. So where's the Chiv Kares over here? He'll just bring it next month, excuse me. Okay, then, so this is where we're going to stop. And we're up to Omar Avinu, Omar Rav Chisda here on Daf Nuntes Amud Aleph, which is approximately, let's see, how far up from the bottom of the Amud is. Let's say it's about, shall we say, 15 lines up from the bottom. I didn't count it exactly. Have a great, great day.